Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Everything. I'm Pete.
I'm Molly.
And I guess this will be our last Molly and Pete Save Everything podcast as we enter into the Hallmark movie.
Transition to Christmas.
Christmas season, because premiere of the first Hallmark Christmas movie is Saturday when we're recording this, the 26th of October.
It premiered on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. So if you didn't, Movies and Mysteries, that's what it's called. I was calling it Mysteries and Murder. Should be a whole other thing. I don't like those movies as much though, and so I didn't watch it, but I turned on the Hallmark Channel last night, and I was like, here we go.
Right back into it?
Yeah. I'm just like, forget all the progress I made on other television shows.
Yeah.
Forget reading. Over. Forget going to bed early.
For the next 3 months.
Yeah. And the one that was on last night was called Mingle All the Way. It was not familiar to me at all. None of the people that were in it, except for, of course, one of the leads owned a family restaurant that like their parents had owned, and the parents died when they were kids or something. I think I didn't even see that part, but I say it looked like that. And his sister, who looked nothing like him, was like the hostess of the restaurant.
It's a hallmark of a Hallmark and Christmas
movie. Her husband is the guy that's in all of them, that's like kind of the doofus brother-in-law. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And he was dressed like Santa. So I didn't even see his full face, but I knew it was that guy. The family restaurant was a very generic and brand new looking steakhouse type restaurant with like big leather booths, white tablecloths. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was big. It was really big and beige. And it looked like everything is just so beige, like the model homes and the hotels, and this restaurant just had no charm to it. And the girl that he's pretending to date, because it's one of those where they both have business reasons why they have to pretend to date each other. I mean, just really recycled tropes in this one. And she goes to this restaurant, and she's like, oh, I can't wait to see this. I grew up down the street, and like she and her sister were like latchkey kids or whatever, and they're like, my sister and I would always come here after school to do our homework. And I was just like, this is ridiculous. This is like a brand new restaurant. It's a steakhouse that I'm sure doesn't open until like 6 or 7. You and your sister just came into the steakhouse and did your homework?
While they're preparing the steaks, you know, they come in and it takes a while to make the steak.
But I don't even think the doors would be open at like 3:30. It's just so weird. Like, I would understand if his family owned a coffee shop or like a diner.
Yeah, classic diner that's been in the family for 80 years, something like that.
Yeah. But not the big fancy steak, brand new steakhouse. I'm not buying it at all. Mark, and I was like, I'm so happy to be back into this.
The kids doing some homework, eating some creamed spinach.
Hating the movie and loving it at the same time.
I know you're very particular about the Hallmark Christmas movies, and you don't really like to go away from Hallmark, you know.
Yeah.
Murder I'll do a and li- mystery.
I'll do the other channel. I'll do a little like, because remember I got into Lifetime ones, and I'll do a little Netflix, but I always come back to Hallmark.
So the Lifetime is doing the Facts of Life cast is in a is doing a new Lifetime Christmas movie. Are we going to branch out to the Facts of Life?
I know very well that people have a lot of affection and nostalgia for Facts of Life, and I just don't have
that. I don't either, really.
Like, if there was if they got like the Beverly Hills 90210 cast to do it, I would be all over that.
Yeah,
I think I'm in my youthful age of 40, I think I'm a little, like, just a couple of years young.
Yeah, I think so.
For Facts of Life. And maybe they didn't really, maybe I never watched the, remember back in the day when you just watch reruns of everything? I never
was at the reruns.
The reruns didn't come on. Or
after school or whatever.
I watched The Monkees, but I didn't watch Facts of Life.
I was reading an article in People, I think, was where I was reading this article from.
were you on an airplane or at the dentist? And, getting your nails done.
About the reunion, and do you know anything really about Facts of Life? They have Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah, no, I watched it. I just don't have like I've watched many episodes of it. I just don't have the love of it.
And Charlotte Ray, maybe is that her name?
Yeah,
she died.
Yeah,
but then there is an ice rink is named after her. It's a kind of a little ode to her.
I would check this out.
But then people went with, do you think George Clooney will be in it?
No. I don't watch The Masked Singer, but I know a lot about it. And I know they make ridiculous guesses like that. That's like a Masked Singer guess of a Lifetime movie.
Wouldn't it be amazing, though, if he did show up?
It really would, but... If it was like John Hamm or Paul Rudd, they would do it. But a Clooney is a little more picky about what he does.
His projects.
So. Like, I don't even think if they got like the ER cast together, I don't even think he would do that. Or Roseanne. Like, he's not on the Conners.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he doesn't need it.
So next week will be our first Molly and Pete Save Christmas, and you were saying something about the format we're changing.
Well, don't you think we should do just like maybe 10 or 15 minutes of like whatever race we're running?
Is this just your excuse to talk about running?
No, but you could do like we're going to start a new segment later in the show, and we could do one of those. And I also kind of like that we're going to start gearing up. November looks a little quiet on the schedule, but in December we really pack it full of stuff. So don't you want to kind of talk about like the Christmassy stuff that we do?
Yeah, too? I guess so. Yeah.
People are going to like miss hearing us talk about our lives. Our friends that we already tell these things to won't be able to hear it twice. So it's how like my mom learns things about us this way. Like if I forget to tell her something, I know like, oh, she'll just hear it on the podcast.
Well, it's sweet that we have such loyal listeners.
Yep. No, I'm very appreciative of it, but I do think that we should talk like 10-ish minutes about non Hallmark movie things. Someone asked us if like you don't watch the Hallmark movies, if you can still listen to the podcast. And I think you can. I think there's people who do that. You can still enjoy our witty banter.
Yeah.
And hot takes on Hallmark.
You don't have to watch the movie. You'll want to, probably. You'll probably get into them.
Yeah. And like if you don't have a TV or you don't have cable, you can get the Hallmark Channel app and watch them. Yeah. I think you have to subscribe, but
yeah,
you're gonna
I tried to find something to grab audio from or something, and it was really hard.
You can have all of them at your fingertips.
All right, so let's talk about running.
It's a podcast about Christmas movies and running. Who wouldn't want to listen to that?
So since last we left,
a lot of running has happened.
You ran a marathon.
Yep. It was good.
I cheered on a marathon.
Yeah. Both things exhausting.
You and your friend Amanda did amazing.
It was a good day. It was a fun race. It never sucked.
Yeah. I'm jumping ahead too, but we ran a race this morning.
Yep.
Just a 5K through the beautiful little village of Lake Bluff.
It was lovely. Like cool houses, people out watching with their dogs on their front porch.
Yeah.
And we saw Lake Bluff, which is really pretty, and all the fall colors. Mm-hmm. So lots of children running.
Yeah.
Old people and children.
there was a guy who was running who I thought I don't know what he was at. He was yelling so
I feel like there's always one of those.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is just how he runs, because nobody around him seemed to be concerned that he was going to die. He was an older person in his 60s, I would think, but so loud. I kind of looked at him like, what's going on here, guy? And the girl next to him kind of like gave me a huge like eye roll, like she's been dealing with this for 3 miles. It's 3 miles.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. Yeah. I mean, I know you run really fast for the 3 miles, so it is, it's difficult, but you're not.
Our neighbors are coming out of their house.
I was like, oh, you get it together.
When Amanda and I ran at the track, we always, like in the beginning when we started running together, we found out that we were both self-conscious about breathing heavy. And we, like individually, I felt like I was breathing heavy, and like I must have been like, she must have been like, oh my gosh, she's breathing so heavy. And then it turned out vice versa. And neither of us could hear each other. But then I'll run a race with some, like, and it's always like an older man. And he'll like like breathe heavy,
or have some,
just make a lot of noise, like heavy footsteps,
or clod hopping,
just like a lot of noise. And I was like, oh, really?
Yeah, it's always a guy.
I'm sorry, but it is.
So anyway, so I'm jumping ahead. So you and Amanda ran the Boston Marathon. Chicago Marathon, other Glen runners, and y'all did amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like perfect weather and everything felt good, and it was my second fastest time ever. Yeah, it's fun. It's hard, like, when you think about, like, oh, I'd like to do a different fall marathon, but the whole weekend is really fun. And yeah, just the, like, it, so it just so takes over the city. Yeah. So
yeah,
it was good. And yeah, then today it was just like a 5K, but it was nice, like, to have sort of like a couple of weeks, take it easy, and then run another race. And I love those little small town races with a really small field. And, you know, we all, like, a bunch of us. Amanda came in third overall. I came in sixth overall for women. And
I came in 10th.
Yep.
Out of 22.
Yeah. You came in 10th, top 10 in your division. And it's
so top half, I guess.
Yeah.
Finished in the top half of my division.
Yeah. It's fun to do those little, go out to the country and do those little races.
Yeah, it was fun. And I had a goal to do it under 24 minutes. I didn't quite do that. So I was kind of annoyed that I didn't do as well as I thought I would. But I felt I ran a good race. And yeah, I felt like the conditions were perfect for me to do it. And I was like, if I don't do this now, I'm not going to do it. Like, we ran like 2 miles. It was very pretty, very scenic. Mm-hmm. There was like a turn kind of right at the 2 mile mark where I felt like I was on my pace. And I was going to really run this last mile really fast to beat my goal. And as I was kind of making the sharp turn along the sidewalk or the curb, a girl, maybe 10, 12, came like zipping by me, cutting across the lawn. And I got so angry at this, like, 10-year-old girl who's just running.
Cheater. She's a cheater.
I really wanted to, like,
she had a bib on.
She had a bib.
You should have yelled at her. Hey, kid, you're
grab
cheating.
Grab her, like, by the back of her shirt.
Yeah.
Pull,
I'm going to tell your parents.
I felt shame for feeling angry at this, who probably just lives in the
cheating
neighborhood.
Cheating is cheating. This shouldn't be allowed at any age.
I don't think she knows that it's cheating. I think she's
Did she see everybody else running? Did anybody else run through
no,
the yard?
No, she was the only one.
Why are you giving her the benefit of the doubt?
Well, I'm going to have to look her up. I'll question. I'm going to submit a query into the
send it to the marathon investigation guy and he posts it. Yeah, so we've there's a guy on Facebook that he's devoted his life to finding and outing marathon cheaters. So yeah, I think
pass
I need to
on.
Get him on this.
there's also a moment where we had finished and I went to up to where your mom was watching
because
your dad also ran the race.
Yeah.
And we were going to cheer him on as he came to the finish, and he passed us. So we started walking back towards the finish line, and we went next to the finish line, and I tripped over a wire, and I looked, and it was like connected to all sorts of fancy equipment.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what if I undid the timing mat? It just stops. It didn't seem to.
Well, you seemed like the good child going to cheer on my dad, and I had like spent all that time like looking for you. Like, where is he? Where is he? Like, walking around trying to find you.
What I've learned is that after a race, you like to talk about
like
it with
the decamp. And,
yeah, with yeah. your with. You know, the more serious of runners.
It's just best that you...
It's just best if I walk away.
I wasn't doing that. I was getting smoothies and looking for you. And then I went to the finish line to see Darren cross and to see my dad cross, so...
You went to the finish line to see me cross.
Yeah.
Because you finished like 3 minutes ahead of me. And you managed to take a really amazing photo of me finishing behind
like an 80-year-old
like
man.
80-year-old man.
Very like hunchy.
And the thing is,
when they had walkers.
No, I had my eyes peeled on them from about a mile and a half on, and I could not believe that I couldn't catch up to them. And we got to the 2 mile mark. I'm like, all right, this is where I'm going to make my move. I'm going to pass these guys. And I just could not. I couldn't do it. I didn't have it.
They
in
looked
me to pass.
like lifelong runners.
Sure, but they were still like 80
years old.
Staying
with them was,
no.
was admirable.
Their posture was really bad. They were, you know, both
hunchy.
Really hunched over.
So here's a pounding.
I was like, I was trying so hard to catch them, and they just, I couldn't do it. But you managed to snap a beautiful photo of them. Just
and it's a great photo of you. Like, you're really
their
like
arms raised
in
victory, and me like, what? But all in all, it was fun.
I was excited about the smoothies, though. Like, it's funny that I went multiple times to get these like little smoothie samples that they that these kids had. And like when they sent out the email about like the amenities that they'd have at the race, they mentioned the smoothies and I was excited and they were like plant based. And then my mom said that on the my dad had been talking about he was excited about the smoothies too. So it runs in the family.
So now, you finished the Chicago Marathon, and now the next big obstacle is the Boston Marathon. So
we'll run some more small races before that, but
Turkey Trot on Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, another 5K in a month.
But we're done. We're done with the big marathons until April.
Yeah.
The Orange Theory that we go to, Orange Theory Edgewater, sent out they do like a monthly newsletter with, you know, they highlight a member of the month and talk about what they have going on and do they do a recipe.
Yeah.
But then this last one had, congratulations to all the OTF Edgewater Boston Marathon qualifiers. And I was like, that's Molly and that's Leah.
They could have just said, we can have our names.
Congratulations to Molly and Leah for qualifying for the Boston Marathon. It's like they're sending a faction of 45 runners to Boston. But no, it's just the two.
I know. It was nice. I appreciate it. But yeah, I'm like, come on. You can't put art to start these two names in. What's it going to hurt?
The thing is, though, is when you do, I know, like I've done a class at Skokie and I've done a class at Lincoln Square. So for some reason, I get their newsletters as well. So I think if I read the Skokie one and I saw, congratulations to all the Skokie runners that qualified for Boston, I would think that
it was a lot of people.
So I'm sure that's what they're doing. They're thinking, oh my God, they qualified a bunch of people for Boston.
Well, saying all sounds like a lot, but you know, would have been better to say like our two qualifiers, but didn't mention our names. I don't know. It's really like sweet that they did it, but then it's
really
also
nice.
Like weird that they didn't mention our names. Like this, I'm reading this, like I'm both appreciative and like annoyed.
I would
not
be annoyed,
but like shaking my head, like why? Why not just say our names?
Maybe they don't know exactly because
it could have been more. What if it was more people and they didn't realize it?
Yeah, because
we just brag about it.
You're
more.
Pretty. I mean, you're friendly. You know, you go a lot, so you're friendly with the coaches. And there's other people that, you know, that are serious runners that they may not know that have, you know, they qualified. And if they just said, oh, Molly and Leah, congratulations, that somebody else would get mad. And
well, a big part of how this whole thing started was that Leah would come into class wearing her Boston celebration jacket. And I was like, oh, she's run Boston. Oh, who is this person? How did she do that?
We have Leah to blame for all of this.
She's an important one to blame. She's at the top of the list.
Who else is that?
Well, Laura Slivka for talking me into running a marathon at all. So she's another one with a target on her head for you.
I love the Glens. It's been wonderful for you.
This is a pretty good midlife crisis. Like, it could be a lot worse. I could have bought a Corvette or, like, I don't know. Gotten hair plugs or started wearing loafers without socks or something. I don't know.
another thing about Orange Theory. Orange Theory is my running. I feel like I talk about Orange Theory a lot as much as you talk about running.
Yeah.
The Boston thing is kind of a symbiotic of what they do. They are well-meaning and well-intentioned, but then sometimes they just fall flat, or they do something that's supposed to last 6 weeks, but then they lose interest at 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they did this, they have this thing where it's like Shy Edge Reloaded.
Yeah. They did like a photo shoot for it.
Yeah. Really fancy. And so they have the six things of wellness or whatever. And you're supposed to pick one. Could be financial, spiritual.
Yeah. I know.
Educational. Environmental.
Yeah.
I forget what the pillars of wellness are.
When it happened, I'm like, where did this come from? Like, is this corporate derived? Is it regional? I haven't seen any other studios, because for some reason I get a bunch of newsletters from other studios and I follow some other ones on Instagram, and I haven't seen anybody else. So I know we have some of our listeners go to Orange Theory, so in other areas, so let us know if your studio is doing Reloaded.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just that like our head coach read like a self-help book that like listed these things and they want to do it.
And I like it. Yeah,
it has that feel.
A way to focus on something that you want to improve on throughout the rest of the year or whatever. So I mean, it's fine. So you're supposed to fill out, it's like on a circular little card, fill out what you're your wellness goal mm-hmm. is for the rest of the year. It's been sitting there for a few weeks, and Kelsey, the studio manager, is always, you know, saying like, "Hey,
she's a big cheerleader.
Yeah,
for these,
have you filled out your wellness cards yet?" And, and they have them like in the back of the front desk around like the Orange Theory sign. They have them all plastered mm-hmm. on, just, you know, like to show off all the people that have done it. And I just kind of was like, "Yeah, that seems dumb. Like, what am I? What am I gonna? You know, what am I gonna write?" But then somehow I just felt guilted into doing my wellness thing. And it was just, I just wrote, it was a pink card for mm-hmm. environmental. I put save all the animals. So I put it in the jar. Uh-huh. It's been sitting in the jar. It's been sitting in the jar for like a week.
We wave to it every day.
It's the only one in the jar. Like, nobody's touched it since I put it in. I'm like, grab that and put it up on the board.
They've already over it.
Yeah. So yeah, now I just wave to my car, and I was like, oh, I finally like decided to participate.
Did you sign your name to it?
I put my initials. But yeah, so I finally decide to participate in something, and it's met with a lack of interest.
You like thought about where you were, like you went over it with me like multiple times, like, how should I write this? And you're like really struggling with how to do it. And this is like, must have been, I wasn't really like going to class because of the marathon. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like right before and right after. So I was like, I didn't have to deal with the pressure to fill one. My mind was elsewhere.
And it's one of those things
you're there like struggling alone with it. What should I write?
I'm on the treadmill thinking about how I'm going to put this. Yeah. It's literally just a card that you write a sentence on how you want to get better for the rest of the year. I was like, I have to do this. You know, they're really encouraging. I'm going to do it. But then I would be like, oh, I'm in a rush. how long does it take to write something down on a card? 5 seconds. But yeah. You know what? I got to be at work at 11. I just can't do it today.
You've got to get home to watch Good Morning Football. This is the show that you watch this week. So as our listeners know, you enjoy having your time in the morning to watch your sports shows. Mm-hmm. And there are so many different ones. There are so many different talk show type formats. Mm-hmm. Of sports shows, and there's like so many different sports networks, mm-hmm. and they're all like three guys in suits ish mm-hmm. or business casual, and one girl with wavy hair.
Yeah.
They're all like that, and you'll go back to a few like Mad Dog or Stephen A. Smith or whatever, and they're just inseparable. Those are the ones I said before that gets me out the door to work because I don't want to have to hear them yelling about LeBron or whatever.
During baseball season, I was pretty much going with the Good Morning Baseball. I don't even know what it's called. On the MLB Network.
I liked that one. And you would often pause it and make me come in and watch different things.
With Mark DeRosa and Robert Flores.
Yeah.
And Leah Shahadi. But then when the Cubs were eliminated, I didn't want to have to deal with baseball anymore.
Yeah.
So I went back to ESPN, and it was fine for a while. But then now that basketball season has started, it's all about like the Lakers and LeBron. And I don't have much interest in... I have interest in the young Bulls. They're not talking about that. They're not. But yeah, so I was like, oh, let me see what else is out there. And yeah, I've discovered Good Day Football.
No, Good Morning Football. It could not be more basic. Good Morning Football.
they have shirts that have... it's a black shirt that says, I heart GMFB. I was like, I gotta get one.
Good Morning Football.
And there's a host on there. I was like, this guy looks really familiar. Who is it? And it was like I was living in the 70s where I could never fit. Like, I'd never.
You had to go to the library and look it up in an encyclopedia.
I was always wondering who this guy was, but never really that interested in looking him up.
Yeah.
And it turns out his name is Kyle Brandt.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up in Chicago, mm-hmm. like played football in Chicago, the Chicago area.
He looks like both of these things.
And then he was on The Real World.
Yeah.
In Chicago, and then was on a soap opera.
He was on Days of Our Lives. Yeah. He was a Kyriakos son.
Yeah.
He was a blonde Kyriakos.
Peter Kyriakos, I believe.
Yeah, on Days of Our Lives. So.
So that all kind of made a lot of sense.
Touches all bases for you. Is that a phrase?
Yeah. But this show is not... There's one guy who...
It's low rent, I think. Isn't it?
There's one guy who wears...
Yeah, describe what they wear. It's a motley crew. That Kyle Brandt guy dresses like fancy.
Yeah, he just has a sport coat on usually.
But he's kind of fancy. He's sort of a fancy boy. Like, he's like really coiffed and like... Mm-hmm. He's got like...
Well, he's Hollywood.
I feel like he's like got like a pink shirt with... What are those things that...
The guy from Modern Family, those weird cufflinks.
Cufflinks are like a weird... Yeah. He has like, I don't know, yeah. A big watch. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I looked at him for like 2 seconds. But this is the impression I got.
And then there's this other guy who I believe played football, professional football. I'm not sure. I don't really know what his name is. But he wears slacks and a button-down shirt tucked into his, you know, his pants, mm-hmm. with a belt. And I think he might even have, like, you know, a phone clip, you know, on the side of his belt, that like that type of look.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another guy who I don't really know. I don't know his name
this
either.
Guy.
Who has kind of slicked back hair. Not
yes,
even slicked
he's
back.
So,
it's like he didn't take a shower.
He's
type
really
hair.
Gross. He looks like Michael Rapaport or like the guy in 16 Candles who goes like, "No, you've got Carolyn. Now she's a woman." That guy.
He does. Maybe it's him.
I think that guy would be like 60 now. So.
He wears V-neck t-shirts.
Yeah.
With weird hair.
Like weird stubble. Like it looks like he like shaved his chest at some point and is growing back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really unbecoming.
And he just looks like a thumb with slick back hair and a t-shirt on and a hoodie. Like the range of clothes on this set is really strange.
Yeah.
And then there's the girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good morning, football.
Yeah, tune in. But it's less offensive than Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman yelling at each other about LeBron.
I guess so, but it's just so lazy. It's just like...
I can't watch anything
local. I'm going to get up in the morning. I want to put the TV on. Good morning, football.
I can't watch CNN because it's depressing.
No, just I
don't want to watch local news. That's depressing.
Why do you have to watch anything?
What am I going to do? Just sit?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure I could do something more productive.
I think just sitting and watching nothing is better than sitting and watching Good Morning Football.
I don't know. It's my time to decompress.
Yeah, it's fine.
Before I start the day.
I watched terrible thing. I watched all that Bachelor
stuff.
I mean,
it's
terrible.
I don't like it, and I know it's a waste of time when there's all, you know, there's tons of prestige television that I'm still way behind on.
I feel like Kyle Brandt has like a bachelorette feel to him. Like, I feel like he probably wanted to be on Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Yeah,
that's definitely his vibe.
I've tuned back into CNN. I know you don't like that. And it was like something ridiculous about breaking news, but I was like, this is
it's
not
always
breaking
news.
So I was like,
yeah, no, I'd rather be good. Good Morning Football is pretty inoffensive, so it's fine. Now I want to see what they're gonna wear every day too.
So speaking of football, we're both Texas Tech Red Raider fans, mm-hmm. because neither of us went to Texas Tech. But you're
pulled it out of a hat.
You're from Lubbock.
Yep.
And your parents both went to Tech, and neither of us
and
went
grandparents
to,
and
yeah, yeah, few family, and neither of us went to a school that has
a football team.
You know, Loyola University has, you know, obviously they had a tremendous run to the...
They had one good basketball season.
Yeah. And I'll still root for them. But yeah, on, you know, fall Saturdays, it's always nice to have a fun team to root for. Well, not a fun team, but a team
in
the game.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, Chicago's so like Big Ten-y, and all the schools seem gross to me. And so I don't want to like root for that. Like, Tech is kind of like, I don't know, always the underdog. So,
and it's been
and
great.
Some better years than others.
It's been great being a Texas Tech fan now because their basketball team is amazing. Their baseball team has won the College World Series. Their track and field team has won
the national championship.
Yeah, everything is a success except the football team, which is a colossal failure. And somehow their coach from last year gets a head coaching job in the NFL. And if you don't know about football or care about football, one of the best players in the NFL as a quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs named Patrick Mahomes.
And he's a them, don't you think? Because He's in like every commercial right now.
He is so popular that your dad purchased a Patrick Mahomes jersey.
Yeah, he bought a jersey. Now, I'm not a jersey fan. I don't think that non-players should be wearing a jersey. I don't think it's attractive. No, I'm not into the jersey. I draw the line at the jersey. We get into buying like tech gear when Loyola was good. We were into Loyola gear, Cubs, whatever. Anyway, I mean, I draw lines at other places. Like, I don't need team earrings or a team purse or team shoes. I don't need any of that. Hard line at jerseys. But my dad is excited that he bought a Patrick Mahomes jersey. So he's been, you know, he was saying like, I never bought a Cowboys jersey. I never bought a Bears jersey. Okay. I never bought a Cubs jersey, but now I'm buying a Patrick Mahomes jersey.
Texas Tech could not be happier that they have Patrick Mahomes under their wing, because
who cares that the current football team is bad, because they can sell socks with Patrick Mahomes on. Like, we get, because we've bought other tech gear, we get emails from Red Raider Outfitters and various like places like that, stores that are across the street from campus. They are really pushing the Patrick Mahomes gear.
Like, Mahomes.
They were just in the beginning of the season, they were really into the football team and all this new football stuff, and now that this team is bad, we've forgotten about them and just back to the Patrick Mahomes stuff.
Yeah. So. I mean, how long is this going to happen? For the next 15 years and for however long he plays in the NFL?
Yeah, they're just fully, we just do Patrick Mahomes stuff now, forget our own football team. So,
going back to your dad having the Mahomes jersey, this morning when we had breakfast after we ran the 5K, your parents came.
My dad ran this morning too, Did we mention that?
Yeah, we all went out to breakfast, and Leah had mentioned something about beating somebody, and that person was wearing
the race shirt
that was given given away, and your dad was wearing the
like race. She was saying, like, real runners don't wear the race shirt. Yeah.
And then your dad had one on, and she was like,
all right, we're going to have a talk to him about that for next time.
We're going to change that. Although, it was a nice shirt.
Yeah, I like the shirt.
It was like, normally you hate the t-shirts.
No, I like it.
And it reminded me, I think when I first met your dad, he had a Cubs Ryan Theriault t-shirt, and I was very disappointed. I was like, Ryan Theriault was the worst Cub. I always hate when people... Why are you wearing a Mark Pryor t-shirt to a Cubs game in 2019?
It's one of your big pet peeves.
It's time to update. So Tech is it's really funny to see all the Patrick
they're
Mahomes
all in
stuff.
On Patrick Mahomes. Never forget, he went to school here.
I know. And the good thing is that Christmas and your dad's birthday are coming up, so we have plenty of good ideas for his Christmas and birthday presents.
Well, and then, like, all the sports talk in Chicago is about the Bears being bad and our quarterback being bad and how he was drafted after we could have had Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Or he was drafted before Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes was still available
and Deshaun Watson.
We drafted Mitch Trubisky, but we could have had Patrick Mahomes here.
Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be as good as he is now, I think, in the Bears system. But that's for Good Morning Football.
That's for your Good Morning Football fan podcast that you do with one of the cats.
The cats will usually sit with me on the sofa while we watch, so they're into it.
The other thing that's come up about like football in my family is that my dad's cousin they live in Dallas, and they're big Dallas Cowboys fans. They have season tickets. We've gone to a game with them. And so my dad's cousin's husband,
Lynn and Doug.
Doug and Lynn, he grew this big white beard, and we were like shocked. It was like this huge, crazy white beard. It was very like shocking. Where did this come from? And it turns out that he started growing it. It was white, and then like kids would think he was Santa Claus, and he really loved it, so he just like kept going for it. And then he was reading about how much they live in a beautiful house and a bunch of land in Texas, and they retired when they were like 40 or something. So they're fine, I think. Yeah. But he read about like how Santas in New York make $100,000 in a month or something like that. And he was like, I could do that. And so he was going to go to Santa school, but then he dropped out because it interfered with the Cowboys schedule. He was going to miss like an important game or something. Yeah. So that we love that story because it it touches all the bases.
and he'd be like
football and Christmas.
And he'd be like a tremendous Santa because he has that, you know, the jovial personality. You know, he could talk to kids and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we thought he could have like a good Texas Santa angle to him, like being in, if he went to New York. I'm sure he could do it in Dallas and still make only like $80,000 in Dallas.
And I think that was one of the reasons why he didn't do it as well, other than the Cowboys, was that he was like, you can make $100,000, but it costs so much, it would be too
expensive.
And he
doesn't like
New York. There. Yeah. Oh, he doesn't like New York?
No, that's why he said he didn't want to live there for a month.
But yeah, like, you could probably do it in Dallas.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I would totally be a Santa.
Can you grow a big white beard?
I don't think I can grow. I don't know. Do you want me to try?
No.
I know there's always, usually once a week, it's like, when are you going to shave?
No, you could go fake beard.
I think you need a real one.
Maybe you need to start out just like volunteering a couple times as a Santa somewhere and see if you like it instead of like really committing to it.
Yeah. But I want to make the monies. I want the Santa to be my side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you need to look into Santa school.
Remember how we, like, I talked about my other, you know, I can't do Uber because I like driving, but I don't like people.
Yeah.
My Orange Theory Fitness coach, but I can't do all the exercises. So those are on. But I can be jolly.
Yeah. You'd have to give up your Christmas weekends, your December weekends.
Yeah, that would be kind of tough. I'll look into it, but because I feel like I really shine being a Santa Claus.
Yeah. We're going to do a new segment that I teased earlier in the episode. Pete tells us a story from his childhood. These have been a big hit so far.
We do this a lot where we introduce new segments.
And then we don't do them again.
We don't do them again.
That's our thing. Segment of the week. The segment is doing a different segment every week.
Well, I don't know why I thought of this. It came up, I don't know, at some point about first jobs, maybe at work, or somebody mentioned what, you know, their job. And I had, you know, I had a bunch of jobs when I was a kid. I was a caddy was my first job, maybe. I was the first person in my caddy group to make a caddy. You start off as a B caddy, and then you go to, if you do well and show up, you get promoted to an A caddy.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you're not watching Good Morning Caddy every morning.
So yeah, at Edgewood Valley Country Club, I was the first. But then there was one day where on Mondays was the free day where you can go golf and go swimming. You know this about my youth, where I was made to wear a T-shirt.
Yeah, when you went swimming.
When I went swimming, because I would sunburn.
Yeah.
And they had sunscreen.
Yeah, and T-shirts aren't UVA blocking.
Yeah, I don't know where this came, but my parents made me wear, don't put on any sunscreen, just wear the white T-shirt in the pool. This was like when we were in the neighborhood, but at Edgewood Valley Country Club, this is far away.
Yeah, your parents weren't there.
My parents weren't around. I knew they weren't coming to pick us up for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I'm going T-shirt free, baby. So we were out, you know, we were swimming.
So did you get totally burned?
I had to skip a baseball game. I was like sleeping on the, you know, I had to take all the covers off the mattress and just lay.
What does your mom say?
She yelled at me for being dumb. See, why? If you would have worn your T-shirt, you wouldn't have been burned. So that experience kind of softened me on the caddy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but.
Soured you on it?
Soured me. Yeah, excuse me. What did I say?
Softened.
Soured. So, and then I was, you know, I was a busboy at the Delphian house. The best thing about that job was we got to eat all the leftover rolls. So I'd walk home and just have, like, eat 12 rolls of bread. but somebody had mentioned going on a paper route. I'm like, oh, yeah, I delivered the Southtown Economist for years. The Southtown Economist was just, they used to advertise, people up north just don't get it.
No, I don't know, but I like that.
That was their tagline. It was just like, yeah, it was like a paper for the South Side, Southwest suburbs. And I used to deliver that, but I used to deliver it, we had to have it delivered by 5 p.m. or 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon. And then on Saturdays before 9 and Sundays before 10, mm-hmm. kind of like, which is weird to think about a newspaper coming in the afternoon.
Yeah, no, I remember with like there would be the, you know, and the like later edition.
So like after school, I would get my 30 papers, roll them up, put them in the bag or whatever, tie mm-hmm. them up with the rubber band and go on my route, on my bike. One of the bad things about it, though, was that you had to collect the money.
Mm-hmm.
So every month you'd have to go to the house that you delivered and ask for the money that they owed, which was, I want to say it was like $5.
Yeah, that's, it seemed like there would be a better system than that.
Yeah. Mail in a check.
Yeah.
You know, or something, but leave it.
I feel like didn't they used to do it where you would just, the carrier would just leave an envelope, like a pre-addressed envelope or something like that?
Yeah, no, but you had to go and knock on the door and ask for the $5.25 or whatever it is for a month of papers.
No, it's stressful to have to do it every month too. And a lot of work.
Yeah. And I don't know. I could deliver the paper fine, but I just, mm-hmm. it's money that I deserve for delivering the papers. I was a good paper boy, always on time. They should give me the money. I've done the work, but yeah. I hated it. I was like so stressed out when the envelope would come to put all the money in mm-hmm. to send to Jerry, was the person that I had to send the money to, a woman. So there were times where I'd hate to go to this one house, so I would just put in, out of my own earnings, I would pay for their month of papers. I would just never show up. I was just, like, so nervous about it. There were times where, like, it would be raining out, and my mom would drive me to collect, mm-hmm. and I'd be so nervous, because she would make me go to collect, and I would pretend to ring the doorbell. You know,
oh, they weren't home. They didn't answer.
Yeah, exactly. There was one time where I don't know, it was late. I came late from football practice or something, and the papers needed to come out.
Yeah.
So my mom drove me around to get the papers in by 5, and I remember that she was like zipping around corners, and there was one where like two houses that I delivered to were kind of close to each other, and uh-huh. so I didn't have the door closed all the way, and she turned and I felt like I fell out of the car.
Were you okay? Did she feel bad?
I think she yelled at me for not why didn't you close the door? I mean, it was my fault. I didn't like fully close the door. I thought I could hold the door open.
These stories have the thing in common is that your mom gets mad at you about something.
I mean, this was my fault. Like, I should have got in the car, closed the door, and then took off. But I was like, oh, this house is only two away. I can just hold the door mm-hmm. and I don't have to close it all the way, because that's a waste of time if I close the door.
Yeah.
But yeah, when she turned, the weight of the car and the door fell open, and I just fell out of the car. I also got chased by a dog where I had to jump on the top of a car. Like the top was a big German shepherd.
Uh-huh.
And I was on the top of the car yelling, "Mister! Mister, your dog!" Like the dog was like really barking at me.
Gosh.
I think that might have been the end of my...
Yeah.
Also, I was also losing money on the whole deal. So I think that was my decision to stop my paper out. So there it is. That's
all right. Good story. That'll tide everyone over for a week. The other thing people have talked a lot about, they love your tales from your youth, but other people have chimed in on furnace anxiety that we talked about last episode. I'm not alone in furnace anxiety. It's common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are we at on our, it's supposed to be snowing on Halloween.
The furnace is working well. I texted our HVAC guy yesterday about coming to clean it for the season. I haven't heard back from him yet, but I'm sure he's busy and he'll get back to me. So get that on the books and all is well.
All right, then we're set.
I changed the humidity level. I changed the filter. So I've done those things.
Thank you, Lovey. Thank you for being a responsible homeowner, unlike myself.
And our little kitten Chip was adopted this week, but he discovered that the heat vent in the bathroom, and like sitting by the heat vent in the bathroom, is all kittens in our house discover. So when it's cold out. So that's the furnace update. / foster cat updates. We have Dot. We still have Dot, who's an awesome cat. Like, I wrote her pet finder bio and I said Dot may be the best cat ever. She's really good.
She's sweet.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a really sweet black cat.
Yeah. She's a good one.
We have Dot.
Yeah, so speaking of black cats, it's Halloween this week. today's the Saturday before Halloween, which is when we dress up and when we get invited to a party that we don't go to. And really, Halloween for us has become about the photo. And
I feel like it's always been about the photo.
It's really, though, like, really become about that. Because, like, the first year we dressed up, we went as Mormon missionaries on, like, with, like, our like, white shirts, black pants, bike helmets. So that was good. And then we went as John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg. That was a good costume. Then we went as Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari. Mm-hmm. Another good costume. But then it was when we did Simon and Garfunkel and recreated that album cover that we went into this whole, like, recreating a photo.
I think that's probably when Instagram really was a thing, too, is when that year.
Yeah.
Because we're invited to this Halloween party, and it's from a guy that I used to work with 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I really like him.
Yeah, he's fun, and his wife is great.
They're great.
It's not far away.
Yeah, no.
Some of our other friends go to it, and, like, friends that we don't see that often, so it would be a chance to see them.
But then we would always go, and then, I don't know, because we would get there late or maybe early.
Yeah.
Nobody was there that we really knew.
Yeah. And so we would just, like, eat chips and watch whatever, like, horror movie was on.
Yeah, we would just talk to ourselves and sit in a corner. Why do we do this every year? Again, it's always great to see the host and his wife. Mm-hmm. Now it's to the point of, like, let's figure out a fun costume, take a picture, take off the costume, and watch a Hallmark Christmas
movie. Sometimes
we'll
go, like, last year we went to Lost Lake. The tiki bar was really Halloween-y, so we went to that.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I was suggesting we go to Simon's, which is, like, a dive bar here in Andersonville, that they're super decorated.
Yeah.
And we drove by there this morning, and they were already, like, open with it was, like, Andersonville kids Halloween parade and trick-or-treating or whatever, so they were open. I could see it was decorated. And they get really into the Christmas decorations and the Halloween decorations, mm-hmm. but they used to be, like, covered in, like, these dead baby decorations that were really creepy.
Yeah.
And I loved them. They were so creepy. These dolls.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say dead babies. They weren't all babies. Yeah. There was just one iconic one in the middle that was a baby, but with, like, a bat eating its face. But they just cover the place in dolls, and it's super creepy. But then we went a couple of years ago, and the dolls were gone, and I was like, what happened? And they're like, oh, a woman complained, so we can't put them up anymore. I was like, what? Who is this? I feel like this is a next door post. Like, has anyone been to Simon's and seen the dead baby dolls? We can't have this in our neighborhood anymore. So somebody ruined the fun.
Yeah.
So we could go check that out and then come home.
Are we going to tell?
Yeah, I think we need to talk about our costume because this will air after or when seeing our Instagram debut.
True, yeah.
We debated. We always debate costumes throughout the year. We keep, like, a list going. Mm-hmm. My suggestion this year was to go as Howard and Beth Stern. Howard Stern's a great costume, and then mm-hmm. his wife is really into kitten fostering, so we could incorporate, we don't have any kittens right now, but we could incorporate cats into our costume. And for some reason you didn't like this idea, though. I think it's a really good costume.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure why I didn't like it. I thought it was fine, but I thought we could come up with something better.
Yeah. So I opened up Instagram this morning, and there's Beth Stern has posted a couple that went as them, and she posted on her Instagram. So, and our costume would have been way better.
Yeah, theirs wasn't that great.
Yeah. They were wearing, like, pajamas. So. Yeah. So we've decided to, I mean, maybe this is just very narrow to our world.
It is.
But
it is very narrow to our world.
There's this photo of, so Glenn Close and Woody Harrelson dated in the early 90s briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this, I think it's iconic because I see it posted regularly.
It is iconic, I would say.
It was on when Woody Harrelson hosted Saturday Night Live. He showed the photo in his monologue. So
it's a well-known photo.
Yeah.
If that's what you're into.
And so we're going to go as that photo for Halloween. So it's Woody Harrelson and Glenn Close in 1991. And I think they're at a farmer's market. It's a weird background. Like, it looks kind of like a rundown shack they're standing in front of. But she's eating something, and he has kale in a bag, in, like, a shopping bag. So, yeah. Anyway, he wears this big sweater with a house on it that I painted and recreated.
I know, it's amazing.
I had everything in my closet for her except for the hat, which I got on eBay. Yours was,
you didn't have, you, we bought a jean jacket.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah,
you
yeah.
wear it
but
a
I
lot.
Wanted one.
Yeah.
I wanted, like, an oversized jean jacket anyway, so
you actually you had purchased one for real from the store, And then
I found a better vintage one and returned the Madewell one.
So you just wanted this as part of your wardrobe anyway.
Yeah. Yours was just it was like a couple of cheap things from Amazon and a trip to the thrift store. I think it's going to be good. Excited for the recreation.
So if you're not on Instagram or anything,
it on Facebook too.
If you Google Glenn Close Woody Harrelson images, it's usually the first one that pops up.
You'll see it.
I'm excited about it. Like I was kind of disappointed earlier in the week. I was like, nobody knows what this is.
Yeah, I told somebody about it, and they're like, the person who knows it will love it.
Yeah.
Like when I showed the photo to somebody earlier in the week, I was getting my haircut, and I showed the photo to him, and he was like, we were talking about Halloween costumes and like talking about these great ones, and then I said we were going as he's like, oh, I was like, I'll show you the photo. He's like, yeah, the person who likes it will really like it. That's wild.
I guess the thing with Howard Stern and Beth Stern, you would know Howard Stern. Very distinctive look. Yeah. Not that Beth Stern doesn't have one, and if you were next to me, it would be obvious that
more people would know that than this.
For sure. I think that was what I was getting not upset about, but nobody's really going to know this, is that you think about going out into the general population, like if we go to Simon's or something.
Yeah. No one is going to know
who the costume is. And then we're like, oh, here's the photo. Here's the original.
I always think if I saw that costume out, because a lot of people are dressed as things I don't know what they are. You know?
A lot of the superhero stuff, not even that.
Just like somebody will be dressed as something that I don't know what. It doesn't even have to be a superhero. It can just be something I'm like, I don't know what you are. Whether it's something I just don't know or if it's not well done, both things. But I always think that like I want to go as a thing that if I saw the person going as that, I would be really excited about it.
Yeah.
So. And if I saw someone going as this, my mind would be blown by it.
Yeah.
So that's all that I care about.
All right. So that's the podcast for today. We will be back next week with the very first Molly and Pete Save Christmas for the season.
I guess we'll watch Mistletoe Wishes and Peppermint Kisses or something like that.
I think that is the first one. Yeah.
It's like about an interior designer and a wealthy man.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Never seen that one before. And it has like old people in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know this is one of
They're starting with the old people. Usually they just it was Lori Loughlin was in the old person one last year. Usually they just slide those in the middle somewhere. So I don't know. We got a Christmas at Pemberley Manor last year to start.
Classic.
Jessica Lowndes was in the one that was on Murders and Mysteries last night.
Is it Murders and Mysteries?
We were also. I know we need to stop, but just my fountain of Hallmarkness doesn't end. Rachel, who works with me, we were talking about like we were in the hall. Like usually they do like fall ones. Did they not do those? They did two fall movies this year, and one of them starred the Hallmark Hemsworth. You know the guy that
looks like a
Hemsworth brother, but he's in Hallmark movies.
I guess we'll get this out of the way too. A couple of people have asked, and maybe because like I work in radio and there's guests that are on. There's a woman who's going to be starring in one who was on the show Nashville.
Yeah.
I think she's local or her parents are local. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. And then there's the maintenance worker who wrote one.
Sorry,
like, everybody asks like, I got your podcast, are you gonna be talking to those guys? And I'm like, nah, I don't want to. Is that bad that I don't want to talk to anybody about things? Do you want to talk to like a celebrity about it? Not that the maintenance guy is a celebrity, but the person that's on Nashville is, you know, like a Hollywood actress.
Maybe I shouldn't be saying this on a podcast that's on a radio station, but I don't like when there's guests. I like when it's just like people talking about things. But it's not just, I'm not just saying it's just on any radio station. I'm saying on podcasts that I listen to.
Right.
I don't like when the guest is on, or like I listen to like that show Keep It. I just like when it's them talking. I don't like when they like stop and interview somebody.
Yeah.
Or when like a podcast I listen to has like a guest host or whatever. I just like when it's like the two people talking. So personally, my preference is no guests.
I don't want to talk to anybody either. I just want to talk to you about the movie. Yeah.
If you're listening and you're in a Hallmark movie and you want to come on, I'll talk to you.
But if anybody that's listening
feels differently,
like, yeah, they re- like, oh yeah, I would love it if you talk to that guy who wrote one, the local guy who wrote one, that would consider it.
We could do a separate episode just for that, just talking to an interview.
Oh,
with
that's
that person.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
Keep our format the same.
All right. Well. This is in the production.
We talked to Lisa Welchel. She was on Bill and Wendy. So,
oh, she what was she talking about the this the?
No, she hosts like a show about collections, and she went to Bill's house to film a segment on it about his toy collection,
and then
she came on their show. So I think Bill Lefka hook us up with Lisa Welchel to talk about the Lifetime movie. There we go. We've got three guests right there.
All right. Well, yeah.
I'm sure we can dig up one more. Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. But I want to. I'll not talk to anybody
else.
Maybe
we can score the Hallmark Hemsworth.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening, as always.
Bye. I'm going to